Yeah. Okay, we are recording.
Thank you. We have a our call to order. I'm Bob Matthews. I'm the chair.
Pauline Van Betten, vice chair.
Jeremy Jacobs.
Barbara Lee.
Trent Billingsley.
Yeah, blew it out of proportion there. We have the Pledge of Allegiance. The flag is in the back right hand corner. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. And to the republic for which it stands,
one nation, under God,
indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Well, I took care of roll call already. Public comment. Does anybody have a public comment on anything on this agenda tonight? Seeing, hearing none, we move to approval of the minutes from the meeting of April 25th, 2018 for possible action. Anybody got anything? In the minutes?
No.
I just got Natalia's name on receive under informational reports. There should be L-O-N-D-O-N-O.
Oh, yeah.
L-O-N-D-O-N-O.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When the blame gets pushed around, we want the name. All right. No, just kidding. Just kidding. Nobody else has anything?
That's probably Enya, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not just Dan.
Mm-hmm. Anything more?
No, I wasn't there.
No? Approval of the minutes?
I move.
I second.
I move that you're moved. Approval of the agenda for June 27th, today, 2018, and hold, combine, or delete any items for possible action. Move forward with that? Yes. Move.
Yes,
okay. We're right to Las Vegas Valley Water. Derek, Natalia?
I'm Natalia Mondo, Las Vegas Valley Water District. So I just have a short update. The static water level data that was collected for the month of June indicated a water level increase of just 0.75 feet as compared to last month. So it's been pretty steady. Last month was 0.33 feet, so it's been pretty steady in that area. As many of you are aware, we did have to schedule a water service interruption last Thursday. And this was to do some repair work on a 4-inch water main that's off of Cottonwood Drive. We reached out to all of the Blue Diamond customers through our notification system on Wednesday. And then I reached out myself to, you know, the TAV members. Some of you I left messages for, some of you I spoke to you in person. So we just want to thank everyone for your patience and for your cooperation with this process of doing that repair work.
Oh, where was the repair work done?
So the water service interruption was on Thursday, and I will let Derek talk about the repair. He has more details about it.
Derek Jackson, Las Vegas Valley Water District. We weren't really sure exactly where the main was leaking underneath the property at One Cottonwood, but we suspect it was under one of the big pine trees. So to keep from having to dig that pine tree up or dig in his yard, we went ahead and just ran service from across the street to his house. And then we cut and capped the line underneath his house. Mm-hmm. And then tied in a little bit further down at 13 Cottonwood, between 11 and 13 Cottonwood.
Did the, what are the name of the sensors? We always go through this, trying to remember.
Are they hummingbirds? That is.
You're talking about the
The little sensors that tell you that there's a leak in the in the system, or
you know,
tweeters or something like that.
Yeah, but we all, I'm sorry, I always look at you, but we always
we actually water didn't have any of those installed on that line. But
what are they called?
Oh gosh, I can't remember what they called either.
That's
some sort of data.
I'll remember one of these days.
So you got the meters that send out their radio signals,
right?
But of course that didn't pick this up because it was an actual main leak. And when everything was said and done, we actually did have our leak detection group go out there and install a couple of those detectors on the hydrant risers in two of the houses.
I was just wondering if when there's repair on the line, if that does cause some sand to get into the system and then it's got to work its way through. Or?
Unfortunately, as much as we try not to, yes, it is possible that some sediment can get in.
Well, it's not going to be your fault. I mean, if there's a, you know, open there, dirt, you know, sand and dirt is naturally going to get in there anyway. So, okay. Any questions for Natalia or Derek?
No, just a comment.
I spoke to you about this because they had called in a week before you ever found out about it, and they got bounced around and bounced around and bounced around. In the meantime, there's a river running down one cottonwood, and they were desperately calling, like, please come and fix it, please come and fix it. And then our beautiful Megan gave me your number, and it was like, you know, the next day they were on it. But how can we prevent that in the future? Because, I mean, we lost a lot of water. And,
you know, when the call came into customer service, from what I understand, the way that it came in, it was phrased in such a way to where they didn't think it was an emergency. They felt like it was a homeowner who was just saying, hey, could you come out and look at my property with me to find a leak? So they did not understand that there was a main that actually runs underneath all those properties. And so I've talked with customer service. We're trying to set up some sort of deal now where any leaks in the rural systems, the phone call automatically comes to me from customer
service.
That would
be wonderful.
It doesn't just sit. Just no matter what the what the call is that comes in, it comes automatically to me so I can dispatch an operator.
That would be fabulous.
Because I have operators on site here. Usually 5 out of the 7 days during the week I have an operator up here roaming around. You know, either he's working down below on the sodium system or he's just checking this place out. And that's how we actually ended up finding out about it. I had a guy who drove around up here and saw the leak, got out, talked to the homeowner who actually happened to be there.
Oh,
then we got the ball rolling.
Wow.
So yeah, by the time you called me, we were already getting the ball rolling.
A lot of wasted water.
But we had to spend 2 or 3 days trying to figure out what to do because where the leak was. And that's the hard part. Where the leak was, you know, it was right underneath that tree and we could not find it.
Yeah.
Rooted even right into the pipe.
Is Las Vegas Valley Water District still looking into possible grant money to replace it, the older line?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, what we're doing is we're trying to finish up some projects out in Searchlight, and the intent is to apply for Army Corps of Engineer money funding for here. Unfortunately, that process will take 2 to 3 years to get that funding in place here, but it would be a huge benefit because that steel line needs to be replaced. Needs to be moved. We need to just get rid of that and just move out to the street.
And let me just ask one question, even though that's 2 to 3 years out, this way people will know. I know some of the homes on Cottonwood, and I'm not sure if it spreads over the whole street, but I think, Nina, if would I be correct that the water line is up on your, like halfway between the road to your house?
Oh, yeah.
Would the pipe then, if it does get replaced, would it go in the exact same spot because there's an easement there, or would it go down closer to the asphalt?
We would come to the side of the road, and we would tie in at the side of the road, put all the meters on the side of the road, and then run from there up to the house, just right.
Okay. Okay, good.
It won't be a cheap project.
Right, yeah, so. I'm sure.
This is an old topic, but, you know, our really heavy users, you know, that we have the, like, maybe 5 people who use a gallon a minute or something outrageous.
Actually, when I checked today, I saw people who are using 4 to 5 gallons a minute.
You know, I am thoroughly 100% convinced that those people have leaks. Because if you look around, there's no one who has a lagoon. There's no one who's, you know, feeding cattle. I mean, there really isn't.
How can that be? That's a lot.
I know.
Well, yeah, I know that one house, like I said, I don't want to name any names, but I know that one house actually does kind of look like a tropical rainforest in his front yard. And he's one of the heavy users in the village, so, you know.
Tropical rainforest.
There's a lot of trees and bushes.
Hawaii. That's what I would say.
Are there any spots? I haven't walked around.
Well, there's more than one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There are. There is at least 4 or 5 homes that are up around 4 gallons.
Is there any way we can address that? I mean, first of all, to see if there are leaks.
So, you know, we've done this with Cow Canyon, is we can call the customer and say, you know, we've noticed, you know, that there is high water usage, but we cannot force a customer to...
But can we force them? I mean, we can at least look and see if there's a leak.
Yeah, and we can definitely say, you know, and we have like leak. We have videos on our website. We can send them. You know, this is how you detect a leak, or if you want us to send somebody. But one of the things is all we can do is present the information to the customer. But we can never say, you have to turn off that water. That is unfortunate.
But we can check to see if there's a leak.
We can do.
I can do that through the software that beams back to the district, and so I pull leak reports. The majority of them do not use water 24 hours a day. So that would signal a leak, you know. So
yeah.
There's one house that knows, and we've told them probably 10 times. I have my operator go up and knock on the door and tell them, hey, look, you've got half gallon a minute every single, you know, minute of the day going through here. But one told us, I know we're paying for the water.
And I was going to say, when I used to do Powell Canyon a long time ago, I go to Powell Canyon, we had a couple of people that were using a lot of water. And, you know, I was the one that was making the phone calls, and that I would get that, like, I'm paying the water,
yeah.
It's none of your business, do not call me again. So it's one of those things that it's like, so we can definitely, you know, check for a leak, but we cannot force them. But, you know, it's one of those things, it's tough. It's a tough situation.
Any other questions? Seeing and hearing none, we move to Metro.
Officer Reed with Metro, and we have nothing to report. It's been pretty quiet out here lately.
That's a good thing.
Yes. Trying to spend some more time out here. I think we've got officially approved for an extra body. I'm not 100% sure it hasn't come through, but we've been able to have one in the area lately, so that helps us out. I don't know if you've noticed, we've been able to come through the town a little bit more. We got searchlights, Sandy Valley, also that are spreading us out a little bit. But no new crime trends at all.
Good.
Loud motorcycles late at night. but that's been going on forever. So.
Did you know that there was a truck stolen from Blue Diamond?
How long ago?
About 4 months.
Yeah. Yep. 4 months ago there was. Probably 3 months ago. Yeah, there was.
Do you have any leads on that?
As far as I know, I'm not a detective on that end of it. Whether they found the truck or not, I don't know. I was responsible for recovering a stolen car close by, so chances are it's related to that. That information always passed up to the detectives, and nobody's reached back to me. It wasn't, everything that I know of now was not a local incident. It was... for whatever happened, whether it was a car that they sold out, ran out of gas and found another one, I'm not sure yet. And a lot of these, unfortunately, go unsolved when it comes to stolen cars. They become an insurance claim, and there's not a lot of tax dollars that go forward to, chasing this for 6 months, if that makes sense. You know, the murders and the person crimes and stuff like that take precedence. Obviously, if you find a vehicle that has prosecutable evidence in it, such as blood or something along those lines, depending on what's going on, then we do track that down. But we're not pulling it. We're not calling ID, which is our CSI people, on stolen cars. We have 100 a month at least, so it's just not cost effective. So right now, what our belief is, somebody from town stole the car for under whatever reason, got it out here, abandoned it. It wasn't in the village, but it was close by, close enough, and the time frames make sense that whatever happened, they ended up coming over here to look for a way to get out. And every 10 years or so, that actually does happen. It just, linking it together is the hard part.
Yeah.
So.
Interesting.
Anything else?
Any other questions? Well, thank you very much for being here. Appreciate it.
You're
now
welcome.
We move on to Megan, yes. Clark County Administrative Services.
All right. I have all sorts of stuff for you guys tonight. So, first thing is our street lights, and I have great news. So this is from Public Works. Great. Good news. Our contract to purchase LED fixtures was approved at the last Board of County Commissioners meeting, which would have been last Tuesday. Traffic intends to begin ordering the fixtures in July, and we should be able to begin installations as expected late summer. We are prioritizing our outlying areas first, and yes, we will start with the Blue Diamond community. please check back in August, and we may have a time frame of when we will start. Our in-house crews will do the work. So you guys are getting them first.
Cool.
So see, good things happen.
Yes.
It takes a while. Let me go in order here. The addresses for the pool and Quonset hut, I have the application to do those. I'm going to drop it off with Megan Tanner before I leave tonight. So those should be done and in the 911 system fairly quickly in the next couple weeks. The I'm going to do one other quick thing before I get into a longer thing. The item that was heard two meetings ago, it was the April meeting, or the May March meeting for the C-Store and RV park out on 160 was withdrawn. So that will not be moving forward.
And we don't know any reason why.
Yeah,
apparently it was a dispute between the property owner and the applicant. So.
Did they get their water rights? Do we know?
No, they didn't. I talked to Laura. That was part of the reason they withdrew it.
That's what I think so.
So that won't be going forward. So then the other thing, so we talked about differences between conditions that are imposed here and the record for approvals here versus approvals by the Planning Commission or the Board of County Commissioners. So I just put together a chart for you for the last 5 years of every application and what happened with it. So
thank you.
That was no small deal.
No. Thank goodness for computers. So if you want to look at that, it lists the application number, a little description of it so that you could remember, because some of them, even I was going through and I'm like, wait, what was that for? So there's a little bit of description, hopefully to jog your memory, what your vote was and your conditions were, and then what the final action and who it was by, either Planning Commission or Board of County Commissioners, and the final conditions. So that's just for your information. We can talk about it more like next month or
last 5 years,
whatever.
We only had this many?
23. Yeah.
Thank you for doing
it. You're
welcome. Thank you
for doing it. So, if anybody's interested,
could we get a copy?
Yeah, absolutely.
I got it.
It's all public information. I just pulled from the record. Actually, Pamela. Oh, and when I started out, I should have introduced Pamela. This is my coworker and friend, Pamela, and she is filling in while Cynthia is on vacation. So, she works in Commissioner Brown's office. Which he has a part of this district, so I was able to use her for this. So she's pinch hitting as secretary for us for the next couple months. So she did a lot of the research on this and helped me out on putting this together.
Thank you.
So if you want clarification on it, or if you want to study it, and maybe we can talk about it next month, just let me know. I think it's pretty straightforward. It's just information. So, and that's all for. And I'll just keep going if you don't mind, because Marcy isn't able to be here. So I'll just keep going down the agenda, if you don't mind.
Can you just tell us a little bit about Marcy's item?
Yes, I'm going to hand it out.
Can we just stand this for one second?
Yeah.
I got a quick question for
sure.
You. I'll use the Cottonwood Cafe, Cottonwood Station, as an example. No, I won't use that. We'll use a hypothetical. Say an applicant comes in here and we put conditions on it. And we have the sheet that we fill out, how many people are here, how many for, how many against, we put the conditions on. And then we ask the applicant, do you agree to that? Well, what happens when the applicant goes before the PC Planning Commission or the County Commission and they totally disregard that?
You mean the applicant disregards
the applicant? The applicant.
They could do that. I mean, they're doing their own thing. I mean, I don't know that would be wise if they lie, because somebody's going to call them on it. But we can't control them. So they could. If they felt that the condition was not good, they would be, I guess, taking their chance that they could get the commission to agree with them versus the town board.
Yeah, but it almost seems like, let's say we as a board put conditions on it and it gets approved, and then it gets before the Planning Commission, and then they go for something opposite. They disregard one or two of the conditions. It almost seems like one of us would have to be there to mention it, because having watched many of these other things, what's listed on the that sheet does not usually get read into the
unless it's a specific condition. They'll list the specific conditions.
Right.
I've always encouraged you that if you feel really strongly about it, come to the meeting.
Right.
But it's just the process. I don't know
yeah.
what to tell you. I mean, all that information goes to the commissioner.
Right. That's just one of the tricky things in there that they can get approval here, but I think they should have to adhere to most things. I mean, if it's a major thing where they go 100% the opposite way,
well, okay,
do something
so
different.
For example,
then.
A hypothetical one.
Right.
If there were a building that were 3 stories, and you said, no, we want to limit to 2 stories.
Right.
The developer wants 3 stories, you want 2 stories. So I don't know that they're going to redesign their project to 2 stories because they still hope to get 3 stories.
Right.
They're still hoping to get the 3 stories even though you said 2 stories. So as a business person, I think they're still going to push to get what they want. So doesn't mean they didn't hear you. They're doing a business and they want something.
Yeah, but then they shouldn't agree, should
yeah.
they? Then they shouldn't agree to 2 stories if they want 3. They should say, no, we're sticking to 3. It just seems a little
So it's
dishonest.
Just one box on the,
yeah.
the form is what you're
yeah.
talking about.
Yeah.
Okay, what Bob is talking about, in case you haven't seen the form that where we put the conditions on it, and I don't have one in front of me since we don't have an item tonight.
Yeah.
It says applicant has agreed to these conditions. I mean, you bring up a point, I'll talk to planning and see why that's on there. I don't know who developed that form.
Yeah.
And so that could be a little misleading. But it's not like a affidavit or anything. They're just saying, oh, sure, I agree to it tonight. You know, I don't know how much we can hold them to that. I'll find out. And maybe it's worth removing it from the form. I'll follow up with that.
Yeah.
Yes, Barbara.
Point of fact, a Board of County Commissioners meeting that I didn't go to, but I watched the video.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't mention any of the conditions. They didn't even mention what the vote was at the board. It was on here.
They have changed that recently. That the vote is on as a part of the staff report incorporated, and that's been within like the last year that it's been incorporated into the staff report,
which is read into the record.
I'll have to go. I believe it is, but
it definitely wasn't the one that I was looking at, which was not so long ago. I don't know if it was over a year or not, though.
But yeah, we've been pushing for a long time to get the town board and CAC comments included, and we just were successful in that like a year and a half ago. So now they are included on the staff report, the vote.
I'm hearing you say on the staff report, and what I'm asking about is. Spoken
at the meeting. And I'll have to double check. I go to them so often that I get used to the cadence of it, and so you know what, I'll double check. I think they do read it in.
I don't know
but
if they do. I mean, they have the report attached. The
at the very beginning, when they read the items that are on consent,
mm-hmm.
I believe they do.
Years ago, when I went to a meeting, they did, and then this one that was very important to me, they didn't say there was no mention of anything.
Yeah, I don't remember. I don't remember originally.
I'll have to look.
Yeah,
you know, you go to something so often, you get used to just hearing it going on. So I'll check. I know at consent on for the consent items that aren't heard separately, they definitely read in what happened to the town board.
And those are the ones that matter the least, right?
Not necessarily. Because they can be pulled off consent.
Okay.
Well.
Yeah. So I
think probably the thinking is that if it's heard separately, there's plenty of discussion or opportunity.
Yeah. Let me withdraw that comment. I think that it should be done every time.
Okay. You know what? I will share that the input that you guys are both giving me.
Thank you.
I put the note. I took notes.
Cool. Thank you.
Because Megan would start.
Okay. Follow up. Okay. So, are we good with that?
Good, yeah, thank
okay.
you for doing that. Thank
you. So then the next thing is that Marcy Henson was supposed to be here. She had a conflict. After she agreed to it, she called the very next day, which I had to change the posting real quick. She was like, oh no, my husband's out of town, and she had a conflict. So she will be here next month, but I did bring copies of what she was going to talk about so that you guys can look at it in preparation for her to be here next month. So, which one is it? Okay. So this is the land bill, and this is what was approved at the board. And she'll have way more detail on it, and I am not knowledgeable enough to speak on it. So, but she will be here, and she'll be able to answer all your questions.
Mm-hmm.
So that's for the number four. Number five, Marcy was going to speak about number five as well. So I will give you what that was as well so that you can have the information.
So on number four, mm-hmm. I want to make a couple of comments.
Okay.
One that I'm deeply disappointed that this came about so quickly and the input was not sought.
Oh, thank you.
And I was shocked when I looked today. So when I first heard about it, you know, there wasn't much time to comment, and I looked up the map, and there didn't seem to be any changes over by us.
Mm-hmm.
But the map that I saw in the RJ that I looked at in preparation for this meeting showed a pretty significant impact, where they're requesting BLM land be turned over to the county for development right up against the conservation area. And so I'm shocked and disappointed.
Shocked and disappointed that they did it?
Without soliciting input, and that these changes came through at the last minute that had a huge impact on us.
Mm-hmm.
So even if I had had time to do something the first time I heard about it, which was very short fused, I still wouldn't have had the information I needed to comment on what was actually voted in.
And from what I can gather from watching the video of that Tuesday meeting is, Marcy said 7,000 acres on the southwest, I believe. I'll let her.
She'll have to clarify all those things. I do not want to misspeak or share any wrong information. So.
And then with the remove the Valley West disposal area, at one point when I was watching it, I was having trouble with the audio, and I believe Commissioner Kirkpatrick, is it Kirkpatrick? She was saying something that she had a bit of a problem with number four, but then she just said she could do something later. Do you know anything about
that? I don't. I am not the person to speak on this, and I don't want to share bad information.
So, Bob, what did they say about the Valley West disposal area?
Like I said, it was cutting in and out, but Commissioner Kirkpatrick had a problem with this being in there, but then she, like I said,
I know less than you do. Did it get voted? Did the thing that got voted in say that they were going to recommend removing the Valley West disposal area?
No, they left it as is, but they said that they would look at it down the line. This is just a what is the correct word that I'm looking for on that one? It's just a resolution at this point in time. So there can be changes along the way on this.
Sure, because it's not in their purview to make the changes. They're just requesting
input
to the delegation.
Federal bill.
Yeah.
Right.
So Barbara, I know a little bit about the Valley West. So that's all the BLM still. And then one of the reasons they're supposedly trying to shove this through really quickly is because of the whole RMP, and the BLM is supposed to get their RMP done. It's now 3 years overdue, and there's a push, and now it's supposed to be, it's usually several hundred pages. It's supposed to be less than 100 pages.
300.
So it's kind of a hot mess, and so since they're requesting something from the BLM, i.e. BLM lands, to be open for development, they felt like they needed, and I'm just telling you what somebody told me, that they felt like they needed to push this through really quickly so that they could give the information to the BLM so the BLM could incorporate it in their RMP. That's that. I've heard through informal channels that the Valley West disposal area will be taken off.
Yeah, and we do have, the County Commission has
expressed that they've total BLM thing. That's not touching that land or having anything to do with it. But my, you know, semi-inside channel was like, no, that's getting taken off. So that we... And of course, nothing.
Then we'll believe it when we see it.
Right? Yeah.
And I believe, Pauline, you said 300. I believe the RMP, somebody recommended it go from like 2,000 pages to 300 pages.
Yeah,
and also, instead of being done in like 2021, which it should have been done years ago, but now they want it done now type thing. So the BLM seems to be a little more under the gun. So hopefully, keep our fingers crossed on that one. Good. Any other questions on this? Good. And we'll look forward to Marcy next month. Good.
Yes.
Betty.
And I have something that was under my report that I forgot to tell you, is that John Guillory said that the co-op is supposed to be installing a new meter this week that can measure those low flows.
Low flows. Well, good.
And the last thing is me also. So we talked about conditions and how to make conditions and what kind of conditions can be put on things. So I went through, again, Pamela's expert help, and pulled a bunch of different applications, the NOFAs, Notice of Final Action, for a bunch of different applications from the past couple of years that have different kinds of conditions. I tried to find ones that were unique and different to give you examples of what can be conditioned or how you can word them, what different things you can do. So, and I just have one extra copy. I don't know if anybody else is interested, but so I'm not going to read all of them. They're highlighted on each page. Oh, sorry. Do you want to? Okay.
No, thank you.
Like this is one that kind of, when we were talking about the RV park, this condition on the first one says provide protective barriers or large rocks to prevent access to the remaining undeveloped portions of the property to the south. On this particular one, I was there, so they were worried about people. This was a convenience store, and it was only on a portion of the site, so they were worried about people going into their neighborhood by cutting across the desert. So that was the condition to help prevent that from happening. So again, we could talk about this if you want. These are just different ideas. Here's one, and some of these are just very straightforward. Paint barrier walls around generators to match existing warehouse building. So it's straight to the point, very specific. And that's the other thing, conditions need to be specific. They need to be enforceable. And that's a challenging one because we want to say, well, we want you to do this, we want you to do that, but they have to be something that can be enforced. So this is definitely very enforceable. It's to paint something very specific. Let's see. This is a new one as far as signage. All tenant spaces must have windows, and the windows cannot be encumbered by more than 50%, which is those stores that we see now that their windows are completely covered with signage the whole way. This is an attempt to stop that from happening. So look through it. If you have questions, let me know. But these are just things that you can do, different ideas that you can come up with. And some are interesting, some are pretty straightforward. But I tried to find ones that were different.
Thank you.
To give you direction. Okay?
Even though we request those conditions, the County Commission doesn't have to abide by those conditions.
They don't. But what I'm trying to communicate is that the better, more specific, reasonable the conditions are, like these are very specific asks, the better chance you get of having it adhered to or put on by a commission.
Megan, does it seem that, for example, on the Peterson Gregson, four pages in on the back side, and it says 6 months to review as a public hearing on the temporary gravel
pit. This one's in Sloan. This is mine.
Does it seem like the reviews, like there was the 1 year review on the Cottonwood Station? Does it seem like that is more of a business where a review would be put on as opposed?
No. No. It's more the use.
Okay.
Is it like this one? The temporary gravel pit, this one was because they're going next to the railroad tracks in Sloan, and so that, this was a compromise one because the way to get to their site would have gone, there's a little neighborhood in Sloan, I don't know if you're familiar with Sloan, there's a little neighborhood there, and to access their site they would have had to take all their gravel trucks and stuff right next to the neighborhood, on the same road next to the neighborhood. This was a compromise by going around and coming a back way, but they had to tear down a big berm of dirt to do it. So they said, well, we want to do this better for the neighborhood and tear down this berm, but we need to do something with that dirt we're taking. So they said, let's do this temporary gravel pit. They can use the dirt then and cart it out. So that's why the 6 months is to see in 6 months, if they're done, they're done. But maybe they would run into Caliche or something and they would need 8 months maybe. So this was a chance for make me come back and say, hey, do you still need it? I've seen ones on residential. We have one for a dog rescue down in Sandy Valley where they have 40 dogs on a property. And that one had a review to see how it would affect the neighbors. You know, it's taking a chance to have 40 dogs. And they've already had one review and they got past the problem. So it's not always businesses. It depends on the use.
Okay, good. Yeah, I like that a lot of these were hours of operation and lighting, low-level lighting throughout. And so those are all good things, and walls and stuff like that. So all good things to take into account when, whether it be a housing development or whatever comes into play. So these are all good. Thank you. Good. Excellent. Any other questions for Megan? I got some.
Just
out of curiosity, you knew you weren't going to get past it. Just out of curiosity, why was Marcy doing the presentation on this? Based on she's air quality and then
she
habitat.
She was one of the assistant directors for planning.
Yeah.
And then went over to be the director of air quality. But she's been very involved with SNPLMA, with conservation, multi-species habitat conservation, and she decided to continue over that stuff and took it with her to air quality.
Okay.
So she continues to be over those issues just as the director of air quality.
Yeah, because she did the one, and then Nancy subbed in for her because...
Well, Nancy did the one about the smart growth for,
right. She did
for Red Rock.
99.
Nancy, that is Nancy's.
That is Nancy's.
But Nancy was going to be out of town, so Marcy was going to cover both.
Ah, okay.
So next month, Nancy may come too. I don't know. Marcy may just cover both. Nancy may come. I don't know.
Oh, good. Did you find out anything? I called you after our last meeting was canceled about the fire department. And let me...
Remind me.
Oh, okay,
sorry.
Okay. What it is you were going to call the head of fire department.
No, I didn't.
Okay.
But I will.
If I can just do this.
Sure.
It's for people that outside of Blue Diamond that are not on the water system that are on wells. And so the 66 fire company down in Mountain's Edge came out by me, and so I stopped them, and there's eight of us on our system, and at my house I have like a fire nozzle that's down below, like a 2-inch, 2.5-inch fire nozzle. So I pointed it out to them, and they go, great, thank you on that, because they didn't know that was there. So they are actually going to put signage there so they know that that's there, so they can actually hook into that and possibly use it for their water trucks in case they, 15 minutes approximate for a water truck to come up there so they can use it. So I said, well, how about if I ask at the Red Rock CAC meeting, like people that have wells, like maybe like a 5,000 gallon water tank, and maybe like at the bottom you've got like a 2.5-inch nozzle where they can call up. And so what it would do is it would go into the system. This way, in case you ever call up and say there's a fire at XXX, whatever the name of the street is, it would come up, say, well, with nozzle, and they would know it there. So that's all I'm trying to do is...
Well, you're a firefighter. When you go to a scene and it's a place where there's hydrants, mm-hmm. do you have like a map view of where the hydrants are?
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder if it could be added to something like that. I imagine there's some sort of mapping that could show where
right.
they are, like hydrants.
There might be something in the rules, because okay. we're working, everything I do is in the city, so it brings
right.
up every hydrant out here.
Right, but I'm
be
saying, I mean, I imagine they
a
have
a private well.
Right, but it could still, if there is a mapping that shows hydrants, I imagine.
There should be a way.
Yeah, there should be a way. Okay, so yes, I'm sorry, I did not do that, but I
will
get right.
Oh, that's okay. That's okay.
It's a great idea, and just didn't get to it.
Yeah, they should be able to put that in the mapping system
yeah.
for the CAS system.
Yeah.
Should come right up.
Yeah, this way they have a couple along the way where they have access to water, which might be good. And then I just want to say thanks to Public Works. They came out. There was a large puddle after the last rainfall, which was 6 weeks ago or whatever the heck it was. They're in the process of doing some work, so I want to say thanks to Public Works. And then the other thing is the bike path that Heather and you're working on. I just got the latest email. Is there a way of getting updates on that?
Yes.
Yeah, because in reading it, it seems like Larry Brown is involved in it, so the county is involved in it and taking over the maintenance of, you know, things. So the county is very involved in it along with other partners. It seemed like if Tom Warden and other people, it would be nice to, you know, just get those little updates.
And I'll just say, Sheila Billingsley, I am part of the, we call it the Red Rock Trails Partnership. And actually, you're totally right, Bob. And I apologize. I mean, I have blindsided Larry Brown. Megan, actually, I'm here to talk to you later. So, I mean, this all just came up. I just, in 3 weeks, found this grant. This grant was handed to me, or this program. I decided to apply for it. I had no expectations of getting it. It's up to an $11 million project. And I think it's going to go through, so I would be happy to do a presentation on it for you. I will actually email you guys the scoping of it, just to give you that it's not, it is in Larry Brown's area. It's going to, hopefully, it's not in final approval yet, but hopefully next month, it will connect. It'll be an off-road paved bike path 10 feet wide with gravel shoulders, 2 feet gravel shoulders. If you're familiar with the River Mountain Loop Trail out in Boulder City, it is gonna be just like that. No utilities, no structures, no, I don't even want a trash can on it. You just gotta empty it. That would go from Summerlin, somehow connect to either the bike lane at Sky Vista Drive right up there at the top of Summerlin and go on that north side of 159 and go to the visitor center.
Do you want to have a standing item on the agenda, on the CAC agenda for updates?
Trent
could probably give them, because if I'm not here, I am not going to be, I think the next meeting, July what? I'm going to be in North Carolina the 20th.
August 1st.
August 1st. Oh, lucky me, I'm here. I mean, oh, good. So if you'd like one, I'd be happy to actually
please.
More than.
Sure. Please.
Okay.
Please.
We'll add that.
I wasn't trying to. You know, it was so weird, like, when you're trying to apply for something like this, you don't like to go to people and say, oh, yeah, I'm going to get this $11 million project. Y'all need to listen to me, you know. But now I might get this $11 million project, so you might want some information. And I'll email it to y'all before.
And just a quick question for you, Sheila. Is this the same project that was... I'm going to go like five years. I was up at the meeting up there where they were talking about doing it in stages and maybe ending down at the detention basin off.
Correct.
It's
the 2009 plan that the BLM, and all I did was
take
all their information and put it on this application.
Okay, good.
And then I hope to, I mean, my next project is to write a snippet of application for the rest of it.
Good.
So
good.
This is what they've called stage one.
So look forward to that. Thank you very much.
But if we have it on the agenda, there's always room that'll allow us to have a space to talk about it.
Okay.
And we can have a robust discussion on it because it's on the agenda.
Oh, great. The robust discussion. You're just involved.
Rather than
me.
Just a little discussion. You guys. Well, it better be robust. That will be in the wording. We will have a robust, for robust discussion.
I think I'm still going to get.
And then, Megan, last thing, can you give an update? You just don't have to do it at the meeting. You can probably just call me on 16-4741, which was the... what was the drainage study which dealt with the John Levitt property? Bringing in the illegal dirt on Torino, that one, right next to it?
4741, that one was 15. The application was 15.
Was it 15?
It was on here, 15. The one that was denied, they wanted to do the early grading.
The drainage study next door, which also included that.
Yeah, I'll have to. It'd be better to call Public Works and ask them, because I'm not going to know how to talk to you about it.
Okay.
I'm not going to know how to explain a drainage study.
Okay.
So, not that I don't want to help, but I think you'd get better help
from them. Okay, good. Thank you. Now that I've taken up all the time, anybody else have anything? No? Okay, good. We are, 4, 5, and 6 are all done. We have Planning Commission, none. Planning and Zoning, none. General Business, none. Comments by the general public.
General public?
We have one.
Comment. I have a question. for the
Judy, just give your name, please.
Oh,
just
Judy Brandt, 11 Cottonwood Drive. For the restaurant, does the council recall, I'm trying to remember, I missed, unfortunately I couldn't get this the last meeting regarding that. But my impression was that they were not to be taking deliveries on Cottonwood, but in the back.
I don't think that was part of the conditions.
Was it a condition, or was it might have been part of the design, because there's no, the design.
Yeah, I think it was designed, they have to be designed into the parking lot.
Right, so it was designed, okay. I think it was designed in the parking lot, they would take deliveries. So they would not be taking deliveries on Cottonwood. Does anybody recall what that is, what that was?
I don't know there's an actual condition, I think it's just part of the design.
I know, so the design is, again, I'm going to say, and somebody please say yes or no, design was that they would be taking, or designed so they would be taking deliveries in the rear of the building, and not on Cottonwood, not right off of Cottonwood.
I'll see if I can pull up the plans. I would have to look at the plans.
Yeah, go ahead and do it.
I'll see if I can get in to
right.
Look at it.
Because what they did was they paved the sidewalk to Cottonwood, to the pavement on Cottonwood, which enabled more deliveries, or I guess they were taking, Stafford I think they
Point.
Might have been taking deliveries before that, I'm not Stafford. Sure, but they've been taking deliveries, big trucks, small trucks, cars, whatever, they've been taking deliveries on Cottonwood. So.
I'll see if it's in the staff report.
Does anybody recall any discussion?
Access to the site will be from a 24-foot wide driveway from Village Boulevard. There is a trash enclosure and loading space shown adjacent to the north property line adjacent to the parking area. So I assume the north property line would be this one here.
Right. So basically, they're in violation if they're taking deliveries off of Cottonwood, is that correct? Or if they've made an additional design modification so they would take deliveries off of Cottonwood, is that a violation?
Adding the sidewalk is not a violation. That was more a safety feature.
That's not what my question was, really.
Okay.
My question was for the purpose of deliveries.
Right. It should be in the loading space.
Right. Okay. So delivery. So is it a violation then?
There was a code enforcement case regarding deliveries, and at the time when code enforcement came out, which is a problem with dealing with code enforcement, it wasn't happening at that time. So the code enforcement officer didn't see it happening. And so he did contact the owners and told them the deliveries need to come in through the loading space.
And when was that? Do you know?
I don't know if I'll be able to pull it up here. It was in the past couple days. It was just updated, and I didn't look at the date. I just checked it this afternoon, though. So the case was closed because of being that there was no violation at the time when he came. But that's not an unusual code enforcement. There's a lot of things that when you call, it's happening. Same with Metro, you know, and then when they get there, it's not happening.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So,
unless you have a photograph of it.
I know.
Which
I'm going to try real quick here to see if I can get it through. So talk amongst yourselves.
So would that be the key is to get a photograph so, and then you could show it to code enforcement?
Code enforcement will always give the property owner, no matter what the issue is, the opportunity to make it right.
Oh,
well,
sure. That's fair.
Absolutely.
That's fair.
Yes.
That's
and
fair.
So if the home and the property owner has said, we are not going to continue doing that practice or we're going to fix it, then it will usually be closed because it's not an ongoing thing. It's not like it was a structure they had to tear down. But once if it was a structure that had to be torn down, once it's torn down, the case would be closed. So in this case, the violation is no longer happening at that
mm-hmm.
time, so the case is closed. I'm waiting for the Wi-Fi.
I have another question. Well, it was a comment related to this, because evidently there was some communication with the owner on this, and then the owner approached me personally and basically accused me, myself, or Cynthia of this, of calling code enforcement, and I didn't really appreciate that. Way.
And I can tell you that I can see who made the complaint, and I don't know who it is.
Okay.
because it's not, there's no name.
Right.
So,
right.
And I would, and I would share the information even if I could, because that's confidential information. Mm-hmm. I'm still logging.
What else you got, Judy? Anything?
A question on the streetlights. So, is it modifying existing streetlights?
It's replacing all of the streetlights with the low-intensity, bluish type ones, the okay. ones that you like. They're all going to be like that.
They're not the bulb ones, so they shine more down.
So they shine more down, and that's replacing existing.
Yeah.
Correct.
Not making building any new ones.
No.
Is
no,
that,
it's replacing the bulbs.
Would that include the one, is that all of the streetlights? Because there's one that's like right in front of our house that I know that is paid for, the power to it is paid for by the apartments.
I don't think it matters who does the power. I think they're going to replace them all, but I will confirm.
Okay, I was just
But I know that one was a problem
that.
One, right?
Yeah,
that was the one that's like the old yellow.
Like,
yes.
Yeah.
So I think that was one specifically we talked about. So I believe they're replacing all the bulbs. I think that was the intention to replace all the bulbs. I'm still getting there. Hold on. Keep talking, you guys.
Mine says no service. So I don't know.
Wi-Fi.
When are they doing delivery that you've noticed?
When I'm off, that I've noticed. I know other people have told me about it during the week. Other people have told me about it and showed me pictures of it. But I've noticed it, last time I noticed it was this last weekend. It wasn't a big truck. It was, you know, a smaller vehicle, van or whatever. But they were taking deliveries. Cars, vans, whatever. That's what I've seen. And that's when I'm off. Like, one was a Friday and one was a Saturday.
I'm almost there.
I
can see that you're all staring at me.
I'm gonna make a comment while you're watching.
Yes, please do.
I thought it was interesting that you said the front of the building is the site on Cottonwood, because that's supposed to be the back of the building.
Yeah,
it's the front of the building.
Yeah, it's supposed to be the back. I mean, the design was such that it was supposed to be the
back.
Well,
I think that came up is that the...
No, I'm not trying to correct you.
No,
I'm just bringing up an item of conversation.
No, I think how that worked is that the addressing can't be changed. If you remember, we talked about changing the addressing.
Right, yes,
and
we're
it
locked
couldn't
in.
Be changed.
Yeah.
So the front has to be... I mean, the logistical front is the one that faces Cottonwood, because that's where the addressing is, logistically. I mean, I think the building is designed not to really have it be the front, but logistically it's called
it's
the front.
It's not terribly successful at making that part look like the back. I think it's unsuccessful at that. So it draws more traffic to Cottonwood than was expected originally.
If YNI and the barbed wire fence?
No, hopefully it will be a non-issue.
Oh, that
would
be
6:25 was when the case was closed. So 2 days, Monday.
Oh. That reminds me, this is totally off topic and out of sequence. You know where they took the borough thing down? They never took the borough
crossing.
The signs.
I know, the signs are still there. Yeah. I could relocate one for them.
I know. I bet a lot of people would like to have that.
What's the borough thing?
Well, over
the
where Bill
cattle guard.
Lives, and they took the borough.
Oh, the cattle guard.
That
they removed the cattle guard, but the signs are still there.
Yeah.
To tell the boroughs where to cross.
Yeah.
Right.
So I do have a comment. I want to update you on borough situations. They're quite busy in town. There were seven of them.
That must be where yours are going, because Bill says they're not down by this place now.
There were seven of them that I chased out of my yard tonight coming over here, and I had to chase them three different times to convince them to move, so they're quite inured to people, and it's pretty early in the summer for that to be happening. I mean, it's usually after a long, dry summer that they're really pushing in on us, but it seems to me it's happening earlier this year.
Okay. Oh yeah, so they're because you're up above, they're up there. Okay.
Yeah, but they're all over town. Yeah.
And we'll pass that along to the Wild Horse and Burrow Specialist.
Is there any word on the Red Rock Fire? Was it like 91 acres? Has anybody heard, Jeremy?
I don't know.
Last
I
heard
it
was
91
acres.
Yeah, I don't know details on that.
Was it close to the road? Or
no.
Has anybody got up there?
I saw it when it was happening.
It was quite a ways out there.
Oh, was it?
They're trying to figure out cause. There's two causes, lightning or man-made. So there was no lightning. So they kind of narrows it up.
Yeah.
But it was way back there.
Wow. All right. Anything else? Public comment? Well, next meeting will be Sheila?
August 1st.
That's it. Thank you. Sheila, I heard North.